Stay tuned for Bob Inyart Live. But first, this is Pastor Bob Inyart of Denver Bible Church. And I'd like to read to you something that has caused a lot of controversy among Christians. And I think it's a shame. It shouldn't, but it has. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the Christians who lived in Rome. It's called Paul's Epistle to the Romans. The epistles, they're the wives of the apostles. So anyway, this was Paul's epistle to the Romans. And in chapter 9, he wrote this. He said, as it is written, and he was quoting an Old Testament book. He said, as it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. And so here's the Apostle Paul. He's talking about, well, Jacob and Esau were the two twins, the babies born to Isaac and Rebekah. And in this section, he was talking about these babies, the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. And so Christians have gone on to read that and say, well, you see, some Christians, they say, you see, God hates some babies and he loves others. And it's so tragic to me that Christians read, but they're not careful with the Word of God, and they treat it in such a shallow manner. You know, Jesus said in Luke 14:26, that you have to hate your father and mother, wife and children, otherwise you cannot be his disciple. You must even hate your own life to be a Christian. Huh? Doesn't the Bible say that you have to love your wife, love your parents? Love, you got to love your neighbor as yourself. And so why did Jesus say, if anyone does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, he cannot be my disciple? Why would Jesus say that? Because love and hate, when used in that context, it's a figure of speech. It's an idiomatic expression, and it means to love and love more. That's what it means. That's what it means. That's not how you interpret it. That's what it means. It's a Hebrew idiom. And so, and that was Luke 14:26. The same thing in Matthew 10:37. Well, you see the same picture. Jesus said, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. The point was, you should love your mother and father, but you should love your Creator more than even your own family. Because if you don't love God more, then your love for your family will be broken. It will not be true, deep, effective love. And so back in the Old Testament, remember Jacob with Rachel and Leah in Genesis 29, verse 30? Jacob, we read, Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. And the next verse tells us, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, the Lord helped her to conceive. Now, Leah wasn't hated. Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. He didn't hate Leah, but he loved Rachel more. She was his first love, his true love. And then he ended up marrying Leah by accident, as far as he was concerned. And so we have this figure of speech throughout the Bible of love and hate. In that context, it means to love and love more. And what God did with Jacob and Esau when they were still babies in the womb is that he chose one of those babies through whom to work with to build a nation, and to build a nation with 12 tribes, and through one of those tribes, the Messiah would be born into one of those tribes. And God would use that nation as his spokesnation for the world. And so Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. And you go back to Genesis and you see Jacob and the story of Jacob, and it tells you what that means, love and hate it. It doesn't mean that God hates an innocent baby in the womb. It says, before they did any good or evil, he chose Jacob to work through Jacob. The Bible makes so much sense if only we will let it. Now, stay tuned for Bob Inyart Live.
Service with the weekend.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Through his spokesman, Michael Jackson has promised that tomorrow he will turn himself in. Turn himself in. Tomorrow he will turn himself in into what? That's what I wonder. He's going to turn himself into what tomorrow? Michael Jackson is proof that in America, a poor black boy could grow up to be a rich white woman, apparently. But the tragedy of Michael Jackson, an utterly broken life, and his sexual perversion, his sexual interest in children, and somehow our government, our laws are so broken that he's gotten away with this for years, which is so devastating. And I think, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Am I the only talk show host in the country back 10 years ago in 93, Michael Jackson was accused of child molestation? You remember that? And was I the only one in the country to point out that we knew he was a child molester all along? We knew it. And we had evidence on national TV, on live TV. Because, what was the evidence? Well, during the Super Bowl, 1991 Super Bowl halftime show, Michael Jackson, with children all around him on stage, millions watching, would grab his genitals and thrust his hips toward the cameras. And a man doing this, if a man did this in an office in front of a secretary, not only would he be considered sick and demented, ill, mentally ill, but also a pervert, and he'd be charged with sexual harassment, probably sued. Be a federal case, literally. If a man did this in a fourth grade classroom, he'd be despised by any good person, and everyone would know he's a pervert, and he needs to be punished. So Michael Jackson does this in front of the nation, and the whole media just approves of him. So of course he's a child, a sexual predator. Of course he is. Of course he is. All right. And remember, the whole Michael Jackson is a child molester thing. Back then, when the story first broke, we followed it on this show, Bob and Yurt Live, and we gave out the evidence and the arguments that showed that Michael Jackson is a child molester. He paid out about $25 million, apparently it was, to the boy and the parents who had accused him back 10 years ago. And you know what's weird? Michael Jackson, now the story's coming out, this Pelicano has gone to jail. This Hollywood private eye, Andrew Pelicano, is that his name? And he was hired by Michael Jackson, well, through his law firm, to intimidate a TV reporter, reporterette for Entertainment Tonight, was it? She was doing these stories about Michael Jackson and this sexual molestation. And so Michael Jackson's law firm hired this Pelicano, and he wiretapped this reporter's telephone, as he's done to a number of other people. He did things like vandalized her car, put a dead fish in her car with a rose on it in the car and a note that said stop. And she was scared. Somebody was freaking her out. And it turns out now that this guy's turned himself in and he's in jail right now. Is that the latest in the story in the last couple days? It turns out, and this has been reported on Fox News, that back when Bill Clinton was running and with all these women who said he sexually assaulted them, raped them, all the different stories. He had affairs with all these women. That Hillary Clinton hired Andrew Pelicano to try to get Jennifer Flowers off their back one way or another. And for a couple of the women, Hillary Clinton hired this private eye who wiretapped people's phones illegally, threatened people, intimidated people. And one of the people that was intimidated through this, one of the women that Bill Clinton mistreated sexually, left the country in fear, being intimidated by the Clintons, by Bill and Hillary, through Andrew Pelicano. So that story, we'll see if that story goes anywhere. I doubt it. The Clintons, we've pointed out Bill Clinton could be videotaped raping a woman and he would still be the darling of the left. And Hillary Clinton, as far as setting women back a generation regarding being the victims of sexual molestation and rich, white, powerful men being able to use women. Hillary, we'll find out that will be one of her greatest legacies. Right? No matter how Bill Clinton, how wealthy, powerful men sexually mistreat women, and those women are told by other women even, you better shut up. Take it and shut up. That's the message Hillary Clinton has to any woman in America that'll get in her way, her lust for power. So at any rate, and then after the Michael Jackson story hit the news and then it died out because he paid off the family, which there's something wrong with that, huh? But then Michael Jackson was saying that he had no – remember there was that scandal about, the boy was able to identify him by the boy drew markings of Michael Jackson's genitals, and Michael Jackson said that never happened. He had no marks that linked him to the boy's charges, and that turned out to be a lie. The same DA who's in the news today, Tom Snedden in Santa Barbara. What a beautiful town, Santa Barbara. But the same DA said back then that Michael Jackson was lying and that the boy that had first accused Michael Jackson of molesting him drew an accurate picture of markings on Jackson's privates. And later that was corroborated by a police photo. So, and that story goes on and on and on about Michael Jackson being a flat-out child molester, a homosexual child molester. And NAMBLA, you know NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association, the homo perverts who their slogan is sex by eight or it's too late. They loved Michael Jackson through all this. They loved him. I'll tell you why when we get back.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Christmas is coming up, and you might want to check out some Bob Inyart Live materials to give as gifts, maybe even for yourself. Hi, this is Bob Inyart with a live commercial break. We've got our debate. It's 170 pages in print. Does God exist? Bob Inyart versus Zaketh. You will love it. You'll just love reading this debate. It is so much fun. And then we've got great videos like Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection and unlocking the mysteries of life, the best video ever produced refuting evolution. It's just extraordinary. On VHS or DVD, you'll absolutely love it. And then what else do we have? Oh, we've got now the Plot and the Tree seminars available on MP3 CDs. So you could get both. It is so much fun. The Plot is an overview of the whole Bible. And the Tree is an overview of your Christian life and mine. The whole battle, the spiritual battle, started in the Garden of Eden at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what is that legacy of? What is the legacy of that tree? And whatever happened to that tree anyway? Well, check it out. If you get the Plot and the Tree on MP3 CDs, you listen to them. Our guarantee, 30-day money-back guarantee, you'll love it. NYART, 1-800-836-9278. I recall that Michael Jackson's chauffeur said that he drove Michael Jackson to that boy's home for all-night sleepovers 30 days in a row. Do you remember that? Bizarre. And Michael Jackson's personal maid said that from time to time she would catch a glimpse of Jackson in the bathroom and in his bedroom when he was in various stages of undress, in bed, or in the same sleeping bag with the young boy. Unbelievable. And this guy, this predator, is still approved of by liberals in the media. CBS was going to do a Michael Jackson special next week. Boy, talk about timing, huh? Pitiful timing they've got. They just had the Ronald Reagan deal, and now they have this. So they've had to cancel it. But liberals, yeah, who's the guy on Hardball? MSNBC. What's his name? PMSNBC, Hardball, Chris Matthews. His point, he covered this story in his program today, and he was trying to make the DA out into the bad guy through his whole show, that the DA is the bad guy because the DA wanted to get Michael Jackson. No kidding, Chris, you moron. What, do you want a DA who doesn't want to get Michael Jackson? Is that what you want? Oh, brother. He is such a liberal, that guy. Chris Matthews, he hates George Bush far more than he cares for the Iraqi people. That's a different issue. All right, so anyway. Oh, and there was video of Michael Jackson in a London toy store. And this video aired. It was a clip of Michael Jackson. And the store was closed down to allow him to bring a young boy shopping. And it was so interesting because the video clip, just a short 5-second little clip or so, and it showed Michael Jackson, he touched the boy to show him a toy, and the boy pulled away from Jackson like he was in disgust. And that aired. I don't know. Nobody made much of it. There was a homosexual magazine called In Touch, and we broadcast a photo from that magazine when Bob and Yart Live was a TV show. And there was a very clear photograph taken prior to the accusation against Jackson. And the photo, it appeared in this homosexual magazine because it was taken at a homosexual vacation spot. And Michael Jackson had his arms around Aaron Light, who was a homosexual journalist, and a young boy. A young boy. So here he is at a homo vacation spot, with one arm around a homo journalist and the other arm around a young boy. So, pretty gross, huh? Yeah, the whole thing's pretty gross. And it was on Primetime Live that Michael Jackson and his investment partner wife, Lisa Marie, for a short time, Presley, bragged that young boys had the right to be in Michael's bathroom with him, to sleep in his bed with him. One will sleep on one side of me, the other sleep on the other side, and they always insist they sleep in my bed. They don't want the guest room. So all of our founding fathers, all of them, even the liberals, believed homosexuality was a crime. And every state outlawed the behavior. A few still do, but the U.S. Supreme Court put that to rest with their when they found the Texas anti-homosexual law. They found it unconstitutional. And so, what's the argument here in Massachusetts? They ruled, the Supreme Court in Massachusetts ruled that homosexuals have the right to get married. Married, of all things. Married. Marriage. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And marriage is an institution that was given to us by God. And if, you know, there will be people who there's a movement afoot. There's a movement about sex with animals. And that's pretty much where the homosexual issue was at 30 years ago. In fact, boy, I've got an article upstairs in my little magazine rack. And there's a newspaper article from Dwayne Hostetler from Indiana. And he sent it to me about a play. Well, I don't know. I'll tell you about it, even though I don't have the article right in front of me. It's a play from New York that went in – it ran in Bloomington, Indiana, IU City, Indiana, University of Indiana. And the play is about a guy who has a sexual relationship with a goat. That's what the play is about. And this article runs – I think it was the Indianapolis Star. Unless it was the Bloomington paper. I'm pretty sure it was the Indianapolis Star. And this article quotes from the actress, a well-known actress in the play, and she says, you know, you could go to a restaurant, you could go to a butcher, a slaughterhouse where they kill animals, but if someone wants to love animals, then somehow that's not okay. It's okay to kill them but not have sex with them. And she was saying, you know, I don't really feel that it's all that bad. And that doesn't, I mean, that should be, right there should be criminal. There's evidence that some of the most terrible sexually transmitted diseases have come to the human race from the animal kingdom. Like what? What is the evidence that AIDS has come from monkeys? And what else? That syphilis has come from sheep and gonorrhea from dogs. At least I've read it. I haven't personally tracked down the viruses, my own personal self, but you read it and you read it in sources where, you know, homosexuals writing about where did the AIDS virus come from? And there's evidence it came from sex with monkeys. So that's just handy dandy. So anyway, God has given us these boundaries. And when you take down God's boundaries, anything else is artificial. So sex is for within marriage. That's the boundary. And you have liberals saying, don't tell me what to do, and they want to have sex outside of marriage. So now fornication in the 60s becomes commonplace. And then you have people saying, well, I can have sex with someone of the opposite gender, and that's it. Don't tell me what to do. I'm going to have sex with anybody I want to, homosexual or not. And so once that becomes commonplace, then you can't have sex with young kids. And the liberals say, well, don't tell me what to do. And so in Northern Europe, there's been a long-standing movement that's progressing, that's legalizing sex with children younger and younger and younger. Especially homosexual sex. And we've got pieces of that movement right here in this country with NAMBLA, the North American Man Boy Love Association, where their slogan is sex by eight or it's too late, and they exist to advocate sex with young kids. And they've got websites, and they meet at at public libraries? Why don't the police find out when their meetings are and then go there and arrest them all as sexual predators? It should be against the law to conspire with others and teach others how to have sex with young boys and get away with it. That should be against the law. But our country is broken. When God has established boundaries that are not arbitrary, and when we get rid of God's boundaries, then we say, well, what other boundary could we put in its place? Like, for example, our Christian leaders, from the best Christian leaders in the country, virtually all of them, think of one that has said that pornography should be against the law. It should be against the law to sexually exploit women. Who? What group says that? Does Focus on the Family say that? No. No. I would like Focus on the Family to clarify their position, but Focus on the Family thinks that obscenity is what should be illegal, but pornography is legitimate. It's legally valid. And that people have a First Amendment free speech right to sexually exploit women. And it's obscenity that we need to try to stop, and child pornography. And Morality in Media, the largest organization designed just to oppose pornography, and their Christian CEO, Bob Peters, was on this show this past year and for an hour, and the whole hour led up. The climax was at the end of the program when I asked him, I said, Bob, would you stand with Denver Bible Church as we call for the recriminalization of pornography? Just a statement to say that pornography should be against the law. It should be against the law to sexually exploit women. And he said, oh, no, I can't do that. Why can't he do that? It's the largest Christian religious organization against pornography. He's a strong conservative Christian, and he's the president of it. You know why he can't do it? Because they don't believe in that position. They believe that pornography should be legal. They're pro-choice when it comes to producing pornography, that men should have the choice whether or not to sexually exploit women. And so this is the problem we have. We look at the utter perverts that are out there in our society, like Bill O'Reilly, for example, and all his voyeuristic, his show has become just the sexual parade. We're not going to watch it anymore. You know, after 9/11, the Fox News channel was just a pervert news channel. That's all it was. And then 9/11 hit, and a lot of conservatives started to tuning into Fox, and Fox had sobered up because of 9/11. But now it's a couple years in the past, and they're becoming their filthy Rupert Murdoch, Bill O'Reilly, sexual fetish selves all over again. And so O'Reilly is just a pervert. And so anyway, we Christians, we get upset at stuff like that, like the Abercrombie and Fitch catalog for kids that's so blatantly and despicably sexual. And the bigger problem we have is that the Christian community, the Christian leaders, have given in on the battle against pornography. They've said, well, it needs to be legal, but we just have to fight against obscenity. What does that mean? Well, that's if it violates community standards. What does that mean? You see, if you don't take God's boundary, which is sex only within marriage, then any other boundary is artificial and unenforceable. So we've given up on the only battlefront that we have any possible chance of winning, and so now we're fighting the battle out in the ozone somewhere. We'll be back after this. one 800 8 NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. That's our call-in line, but this is a live commercial break, and it's also our order line. you can give us a buzz, and we'll be happy to talk to you about, well, if you have any questions come up this week. Try to remember our number, and if you're in a debate, a discussion, a life discussion, you know, marriage, divorce, kids, homosexuality, evolution, creation, the death penalty, maybe you want to call Bob and Yart Live, and we're not an answer line, but we could point you to some of our materials that really might help. At Bob and Yart Live, we have, what, going on 30 different albums, Bible study albums, that are so much fun, starting with an overview of the whole Bible called The Plot, and then going through Genesis and Exodus, Deuteronomy, Ruth, Samuel, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs, Jonah and Nahum, Nehemiah, Esther. And then in the New Testament, we've got the Gospel of John, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Colossians, 1 Timothy, James and Jude, and Revelation. And it's really fun to study the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. And you could join us, do it with us. And then we've got our classics like Nicer Than God, How Nice Is Too Nice, about forgiving, judging, rebuking, name-calling. Bob and Yart Debates. Oh, wait, we don't have that ready yet, huh? That's back-ordered. Predestination and Free Will. That's a fun album. That's really fun. You'll enjoy that. And so, at any rate, we've got so many Bible study materials that you could study along with us. We just got a letter today from a woman. I don't know how old she is. Judging by her handwriting, she might be 98 years old. She said, I love studying the Bible with you guys. I'm learning all that I can. Well, you can do that too. Call us 800-8-NYART or go to kgov.com. We're back, Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-NYART. So tolerance is just the new intolerance. Right here in Colorado, a court has ordered a mom not to teach her children that homosexuality is wrong. So the Colorado Court of Appeals will hear this plea from this mother who wants to teach her child, raise her child as a Christian, and to say that sexual immorality is wrong, and that this lower court has ordered the mother that she cannot teach her child that homosexuality is wrong. How's that? And they call it tolerance, those lying dogs. Tolerance is just the new intolerance. And what they do not tolerate is biblical morality, biblical Christianity. That's what they don't tolerate. The liberals, what's the favorite religion of the liberals? Well, since 9/11, Ann Coulter points out, since 9/11, it's Islam. Yeah, they like Islam because they hate America and they hate Christianity. And even though Islam is absolutely vicious toward women and barbaric and cruel toward children, they like Islam because Islam is at war with Christianity, and they really hate Jesus Christ. So that's why liberals sort of like Islam. That's why our public schools are sort of supportive of Islam. So here, this mom in Colorado has been ordered by a judge not to teach her child that homosexuality is wrong. We'll stay in touch with that case and let you know what happens. But it's just absolutely bizarre. It's a child custody case. And I think the mother got joint custody with a homo. Is that how it turned out? Yeah. And then one of the U.S. Supreme Court justices, Antonin Scalia, I still have here this article from the Associated Press back from about a month ago where Antonin Scalia, he really slammed his own court's ruling legalizing homosexuality in Texas. He just slammed it. And we conservatives, of course, pointed out that that will be used to bring about homosexual marriage. And of course, in Massachusetts, the state Supreme Court there, quoted ad nauseum from the U.S. Supreme Court, which legalized homosexuality nationwide. And remember, the U.S. Supreme Court that did that, that's a Republican Supreme Court. Republican. It's not a Clinton court. It's a Republican Supreme Court. Of the 9 justices on the U.S. Supreme Court, 7. Do you know how to spell that? 7? S-E-V-E-N. 7 of 9 were appointed by Republicans. 7 of 9. Assimilate that. Let's go to the phones. In Maybanks, Texas, Tom, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob. This is Tom in Maybanks, Texas. And before I ask you my question, I'd like to point out that Michael Jackson is a homosexual.
Right. Good point.
And I don't want anybody to forget that. He's a homosexual first and a child molester second.
Yeah, he's a homosexual child molester. Tom, just real quickly. It goes without saying that liberals become irate when you say someone's a homosexual child molester. And they deny that. They say it's not true. It's not possible. But at the same time, they say most child molesters are heterosexuals.
Yeah.
Which is so bizarre.
Heterosexual men are not attracted to young boys.
To young boys. No. right. Exactly. Now, some heterosexual men are perverts and have molested young girls, and they should be executed.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. So we don't defend heterosexual child molesters, but we do point out that an inordinate percentage of child molesters are homosexual men and women.
Yeah, well, homosexual men, that's the way they reproduce, by molesting young boys.
Whoa. Very good point, Tom. Homosexuals do reproduce sexually by molesting young boys. Good point.
Okay, my question is, the other night I heard you quote a Bible verse on, if a guy has a bull, and in times past it proved to be dangerous, and it gored a man, then the bull's put to death and the man's put to death. Right. And having been a cattle rancher, occasionally you get an aggressive bull. And if he's too aggressive, even though he's producing wonderful calves, you best get rid of them because,
your own
conscience will, I don't want him hurting anybody.
Yeah, he might hurt someone. And you're a rancher? You're a Texas rancher, Tom?
Well, I got out of the business because it was too much work. And,
all right.
But I just recently sold all my cattle.
All right.
But, in today's society, when God gave that law, I don't think he thought men were going to get stupid enough to raise tigers as pets or have Rottweilers two or three at a time. And I think, to me, you could apply that law to a person who raises a pet mountain lion.
Who raises a violent animal and the first time it attacks.
Yeah.
All right.
I have a friend who used to train Rottweilers for the police department in Dallas. And he said, if you have a Rottweiler, it's only a matter of, a Rottweiler only has to have one bad day. And, you can kill a kid before you can turn around, you know.
Wow. And I don't know much about dogs. I wasn't raised with pets, really, and so I don't know about Rottweilers, but I get the principle. Your point is, if you have an animal that's known to be vicious, you maybe shouldn't get even the first pass.
That's right. That animal is dangerous, inherently dangerous.
All right, very good, Tom. I appreciate that, and that adds to the mix of the principles we work through here at Bob and Your Life.
Anyway, my brother-in-law got saved from watching Mount Moriah.
Praise the Lord, our Mount Moriah video, the evidence for the resurrection.
And
your brother-in-law got saved. Praise the Lord.
And And
yeah.
I think I had a little bit to do with it because I work in my shop all day and I listen to your tapes for about 10 hours a day.
Oh, my.
So I'm a walking Bob Vineyard scholar.
Oh,
I mean, you can't corner me anymore.
Tom, you know more about me than I do.
People try and argue with me now, and it's like the Pharisees arguing with Jesus.
Hey, well, praise the Lord. Hey, when you study his word, then you have his answers.
You know, I remember years ago, I was sitting watching you on satellite, the first time I ever saw you, and I watched you for about 3 days, and I called you on the phone, and maybe you remember this, and I asked you, I said, how are you doing that? And I said, in those debates, you absolutely destroy those people.
Yeah.
And I said, I've never seen anybody do that.
Yeah.
And you said, well, when you have the wisdom of God, who can stand against it? Oh,
when you have the word of God. Thank you, Tom, so very much. God bless you. You're very gracious.
Okay.
All right.
Tell everybody to order the plot.
All right, I will. Thanks, Tom. You're too funny. All right, let's go to the phones. In Denver, Colorado, Carolyn, speak your mind.
Hi. Hi. Yeah, I listen to you quite a bit because, you know, you're intelligent and you know a lot, but I get really kind of disturbed. I'd like to know where your sources are for all liberals hate Jesus and those statements like that. Islam is a liberal's favorite religion and that sort of thing. It's simply not true, and I just wondered, where did you get, what's the source for this information?
All right. And when you say, Carolyn, would you agree that when we say all, that generally that's a figure of speech that means...
I certainly hope so.
That means many or most.
I don't even think most. I just don't.
Well, all, okay, but all is a figure of speech. Like if you say that Bill Clinton was reelected and obviously the entire country has gone insane. If you were to say that, it's a figure of speech. You don't mean you yourself have gone insane.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, when I say that liberals... their favorite religion since 9/11 is Islam. I say that because I have anecdotal evidence that shows me that. For example, the public schools tell us, the administrators that run them, that they cannot promote religion. Yet from California to New York, we have specific examples of school districts that go out of their way now to teach kids not only about Islam, but to have them practice Islamic religious rituals like keeping Ramadan and kneeling down and praying and as part of a public school curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these episodes made big news and were reported nationally. And they wouldn't do that with Christianity. They wouldn't say, okay, we're learning about Christianity, so we want everyone to pray the rosary. Well, that would be Roman Catholicism.
Mm.
Or we want everyone to say the sinner's prayer and say, Jesus, I'm sorry that I've sinned. Please forgive me. But they're so willing to accommodate Islam, even in the supposed secular public schools. We'll be right back with Carolyn. One 800 8 NYAR is our phone number. 1-800-836-9278. Now this is a live commercial break, and if you order any of our materials, you could always ask for a free pamphlet. I've got right here in my hands one of our pamphlets. It's printed on hot pink paper. It's called "Coming Out of the Closet" by Bob Vineyard. This is a funny pamphlet. It's got a closet, and the door is open on the cover of the pamphlet. And it starts out, I came out of the closet in 1989. I feared my family and friends might reject me for coming out. Most of them, though, are supportive. I explained to them that I was born this way. I am homo, and then there's a hyphen. And you have to open it up to read the rest of it. And that's one of the pamphlets that people ask for when they order our materials. But you open it up, it says, I am homophobic. And it's a really funny pamphlet and presenting the argument against homosexuality and that it's unnatural and it's against God. And God, when he made us, And because he made us, he knows how we will function in a healthy way. And he knows what behaviors are unhealthy and destructive, like drunkenness. So in the Bible, God condemns drunkenness, not drinking wine, but being drunk. And he condemns not sexuality. God is the one that created. He conceived of and invented human sexuality, but he condemns the misuse of sexuality and promiscuity and homosexuality and adultery, for example. So you could, if you order anything, of course you could just get a packet of our pamphlets by ordering the article pack. You get a dozen or so. I think you get half a dozen of our articles, a couple of each, something like that. But also, one of the things you might want to do is go online to kgov.com and check out our store online, because next to each title, you can see a description of what it's all about. one 800 8 NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So, Carolyn, I have anecdotal evidence that liberals who are generally against religion since 9/11, they bend over backwards to accommodate, tolerate, approve of, promote Islam.
Well, I don't see that happening. I see now, I just retired from working for the Denver Public Library, and I saw right after 9/11 an awful lot of people of all faiths, Christians, Jews, everybody coming in to check out books on Islam because we don't know anything about it.
Yeah, it's good
and
to
I
learn
think
about
that
it.
Yeah. If this stuff is true about these school kids, that's a little over the top. However, it's something, if we knew more about those people and you know what the deal is in the Middle East, if we knew more about it, I think we could have avoided some of this trouble.
Maybe not,
but I personally think we should have.
Carolyn, let's have a dialogue here. I'm all for us learning more about Islam, and if our schools were teaching kids about Islam and that was the extent of it, I'm all for kids learning about Islam and all the major religions of the world, but the reason these episodes made national news was not because they were teaching them about Islam. They were actually getting them to practice Islam, which if a teacher anywhere tried to get one kid to practice some Christian ritual, that teacher would be warned and probably fired. Whereas entire school districts are teaching aggressively and promoting Islam, and it's defended. So yeah. That's my anecdotal evidence.
Yeah, I don't know of anything going on like that going on around here. And my husband is still teaching in high schools, and
so his school
seen anything like that. And my daughter who is 25. She was curious too, so for her birthday I bought her several books on the subject because she wanted to be informed about it. And I think that's more where it's going.
But then I also say that liberals hate Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, but see, I'm a liberal and I don't.
Okay, well, let's talk about it. Jesus Christ called for the defense of the innocent and the punishment of the guilty, right? And liberals generally like to protect the guilty and punish the innocent. For example, if a man rapes a woman and she becomes pregnant, then the man is guilty and the baby is innocent. And liberals their position is you can kill the baby, but you should love and understand the rapist.
No, I think you should shoot the rapist immediately.
Well,
I think most people do feel that way.
Carolyn, that's great.
Right mind would.
That's not a standard liberal position.
Well,
on that issue, you're not very liberal. In fact, liberals are against the death penalty for guilty mass murderers, but support killing unborn innocent children.
I've never met anybody like that.
You've never heard of a liberal who's against the death penalty?
No, I said I've never heard of anybody who says, well, let's kill the baby and let the guy get away with it.
Wait. You've never heard of the Democratic Party? Because the Democratic Party says you should have abortion in cases of rape, and they want the rapist to receive counseling and be understood and we should have sympathy for him because of his upbringing. So they want to love and understand the rapist and kill the baby. That is the policy of the Democratic National Party.
Well, I've joined the Democratic Party in, I think, what, 64?
Yeah.
And I've never heard anything like that.
Oh, you've never heard that the Democratic Party supports abortion?
Well, Party supports choice, which is a different thing altogether.
Oh, that's different than abortion?
I personally would not do it, but I can understand why people might have to.
Well,
it would not be something I could do.
Well, Carolyn, why couldn't you do it?
I just couldn't.
Why not?
Because it would be...
Why?
My baby. Well, the same reason anybody else would have it.
Why?
It would be my baby.
It would be a baby?
Yeah.
And you think, as far as you know of right and wrong, it'd be wrong for you to kill your baby.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't be in favor of that at all. But
if some young black girl downtown Denver, her boyfriend says, kill your baby or I'm going to leave you. And so she goes to Planned Parenthood, and you're going to say to her, honey, I wouldn't kill my baby, but go ahead and kill your baby. You think that makes you a follower of Jesus Christ? You're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself.
Okay, now you lost me on that one.
Well, you love your baby. You love your neighbor as yourself. So if you're not going to kill your baby because you know it's wrong, then for you to tell this young black girl, well, I don't care if you kill your baby, that's fine. That's not love. That's not Christianity. You should love your neighbor as yourself. If you know it's wrong to kill your baby, you don't become apathetic and say, well, I don't care if other people kill their babies. That's evil, and that's anti-Christian. And Jesus said many will say, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me into everlasting fire. That's what Jesus said. People who think they're Christians, and they were his enemies.
Well, I don't think there's any way you and I would ever come together on that one.
Well, no, as long as you're going to advocate that it's okay to kill babies, you and I will be enemies until Judgment Day.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate, because I do like your program, and you seem like a nice person, but, I do support Planned Parenthood, and I make donations.
And Carolyn, that makes you evil and an enemy of Jesus Christ.
Pooey.
Wouldn't you kill your own baby?
And the other thing they do is give counseling and make sure girls get birth control, that sort of thing.
That's not true. Have you looked at their books, Carolyn? And because the Nazis also gave us the Volkswagen and they built good roads, we might as well support them because they killed a few million Jews. You know, in America, we've killed 40 million babies, and your money has paid for some of those kids to be slaughtered. And you think Jesus Christ is going to approve of you?
Yeah, I think so, because it's just a whole different view. It's like leave people alone. You know, them make their own. They have to make their own choice in life. We cannot drag people kicking and screaming into something they can't or don't want.
So that's what Jesus said. If someone is going to rape or murder, steal, just leave them alone. Let them rape.
No, not the rapists.
Well,
not
why
the
not?
Murderers.
Why not? They're going to do it anyway.
Well, mainly because I have $2 and I could easily shoot anybody who touched either one of them. But it's just something that I think people have to make their own decisions on.
Well, and men do. They decide they're going to rape women.
Yeah. And sometimes people, it's just...
And a good person, here's the sign of a righteous person, will recognize it's wrong to rape someone, and therefore I'm going to oppose it and try to stop anyone who does it. And it's the same thing when you know that it's wrong for you to kill your own baby, and yet you become apathetic and you say, I'm going to help other people kill their babies because I don't love my neighbor's baby the way I love my own baby.
Well, I didn't say that I don't approve of it. It's just something I could not personally handle.
Why?
Could
you have your appendix out?
There are people who are desperate enough that they could.
Yeah, desperate people kill others. Desperate people become murderers.
Yeah. But anyway, I really wish you wouldn't say all
liberals hate Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
and you do.
It's just not fair.
All right, well,
fair.
For the next week, I'll modify it a little bit. I'll say all liberals, especially Carolyn, hate Jesus Christ.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
Oh.
You do. And, Carolyn, you do. And you are his enemy.
Oh, no, on Judgment
Day, when you go to him, if you have the audacity to say, Lord, Lord, he will say to you, Carolyn, depart from me. I never knew you. That's what he will say to you.
I just don't believe that.
My advice to you is to open the Bible tonight. Open the Bible and read about Jesus Christ. And the judgment, he said, the wrath that he's going to pour out against the wicked who violate God's law. And one of the things God said is, thou shalt not shed innocent blood. And Jesus said, let the little children come to me. And God has a special love for innocent children. And in the Bible, he talks about those who kill innocent children, and his wrath is boiling, God says, and the vengeance he's going to pour out.
Okay, now where is that that says that it specifies innocent children?
Innocent children? Well, yeah, aside from in the Gospels, where Jesus Christ speaks of children generally, in Exodus chapter 21,
okay,
there's a story. This is right after the Ten Commandments. There's a few verses about a man who's committing a crime. He's committing an assault, and he injures a woman. But the text says he hurts a pregnant woman so that her baby comes out prematurely. And then the punishment is given according to the harm, life for life. And it's a pregnant woman in the story. God says,
I seem to remember that.
Yeah, if it's a pregnant woman, and if he injures her while he's committing an assault, and then he might not even have intentionally killed that baby, but it was an accident. He was assaulting a man. He's having a fight with a man. And in the process of his crime, he injures a pregnant woman, and she has a miscarriage, which is what the Hebrew says, a miscarriage. And the baby comes out prematurely, and the baby dies. Then God says he shall be punished life for life because in his crime, he's killed an innocent baby.
Yeah, that seems fair.
Yeah.
But, it's just that my family, there's even a pastor among us, and we all think pretty much the same way. Your whole family
is going to hell. What do you think of the religious people of the time of Jesus Christ, the Pharisees? You think they were all going to heaven? The Pharisees were Christ's greatest enemies.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, and so you've got a minister who says, hey, it's okay to kill babies. No. It's okay to be a homosexual. It's okay to fornicate. Pornography is not all that bad. Take the whole Ten Commandments and just throw them right out.
I just can't bring myself to think that way. But anyway, it's been very, very interesting.
Thank you, Carolyn.
And if you would just not pin everything bad on all of us all the time, I'd appreciate it.
I'm going to modify that the rest of the week. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate your call. So I got to take a note to that effect, program note here. All liberals, especially Carolyn, hate Jesus Christ. Hate Jesus Christ. All right, I wrote that down. So I should remember that for the rest of the week. And Carolyn still has a chance. When there's life, there's hope. Where there's life, there's hope. And hopefully, I pray that she will open the Bible and read it and realize that Jesus was very harsh against those who ignored God and went with their, you know what it says in the Bible? They did what was right in their own eyes. That was the greatest condemnation God had for wicked people. They did what was right in their own eyes. And Carolyn says, I don't really care too much about what God says about unborn children in the Bible. My family, our tradition, I'm a Democrat, and we think it's okay to kill babies. I wouldn't do it. Oh, why wouldn't you do it, Carolyn? I wouldn't do it. She'll make up some excuse now why she wouldn't do it, but you should love your neighbor as yourself. But Carolyn's neighbor could kill their babies. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.